right, well, good morning, everyone. I know I am between you and lunch, so I will try to be brief. I'm here to talk to you today, obviously, about influencer marketing and how we at Wells approach breaking through the hashtag sponsored, hashtag ad noise. And to do so, I'm going to walk you through our brand launch case study for our new ice cream brand, Chili Cow. So a little bit more about me. I have been with Wells for about 2 years, but I have just over 5 years of experience in the social and digital space. The thing I love about my job is that I get to go to work and talk about ice cream all day, every day. So it's super cool. Chili Cow is a passion project of mine. I love it. I think it's really great. But I guess I'm just curious, how many of you have tried Halo Top ice cream? Oh, that's a lot of hands. What about Enlightened or Arctic Zero? Okay, fewer hands, but roughly 80% of the room has tried one of our key competitors. And I'm not going to be biased in saying this, but Chili Cow trumps all of those guys tenfold, right? So we're similar in that we are protein-packed, lower sugar, lower calorie. But the thing that really sets us apart is that we use ultra-filtered milk. So ultra-filtered milk keeps the creaminess and the texture of real ice cream, so it tastes like the real thing. It just doesn't have as many of the calories, right? So we'll focus on that today. But the reason I'm here in front of you talking about Chili Cow is all because of Wells Enterprises. We are a 100-plus-year-old company headquartered in Lamars, Iowa. We will be opening an office here in Chicago, actually, in a couple of months. But as Nick mentioned, you know, we manufacture some of your favorite frozen treat brands like Blue Bunny and Bomb Pop. And I was having a conversation this morning telling someone we are the largest manufacturer of ice cream in the United States. And we actually have a freezer in one of our plants that is 12 stories tall. So we make a lot of ice cream. So we're all digital marketers. We all know what influencer marketing is. But to kind of take a look at the trends over time, I think it's important to take a step back and maybe just think about what influencer marketing was like pre-internet days. If you think back to the 1960s, when JFK was president, he and Jackie Kennedy are walking off Air Force One. Jackie Kennedy is dressed to the nines. All of the press wants to cover what she's wearing, and once it's published, you have all these women running to department stores to buy it, right? So she, in her day and age, was a huge influencer. And with the rise of the internet and mobile-first marketing, we've kind of seen it shift a little bit from more traditional means to more digital influencer work. So looking at this Google Trend chart over the past 5 years, you can kind of see the correlation of, or the positive correlation of influencer marketing queries. And I think it's important to point out that back in 2013, the average weekly query index was 4. And if you go to last year, so in just 5 years, it had increased 1,500% to 62. And that's not by chance, right? If you think back to 2013, I know I was here living in Chicago, working at a web agency and trying to convince my clients that they needed a mobile responsive website, right? So a lot of things were still done on a desktop device. And as the years have gone on, we've become mobile first. Social has become highly mobile as well. And so we kind of see the same upward trend with influencers. So what does this mean for marketers? Well, they were surveyed and 86% said that they implemented an influencer marketing campaign last year. 92% of those guys found it effective, right? And as such, almost 40% claimed that they were going to increase their influencer marketing budgets this year. And so that may seem like a small number, but a lot of marketing budgets, at least at Wells Enterprises, tend to either stay the same or go down. So the fact that people are shifting their budgets around to accommodate a larger influencer marketing budget is pretty big. And influencer marketing data has shown that it yields 11 times the ROI of traditional marketing. So it's some really powerful stuff. So what about social media users? How are they interacting with influencers mentioning brands in the social space? And I want to focus on the first 2 points here. So this study was published by eMarketer in partnership with BlogLovin. Interesting name, but 54% of consumers polled said that said that they had purchased a product after seeing it in an influencer's post. So that means that more than half of the people in this room, assuming we've all been exposed to influencer marketing at some point or another, have actually converted as a result of seeing an influencer post something. And then the second point here, 45% of consumers have followed a brand directly from an influencer-sponsored post. I know we all talk about vanity metrics, followers being one of those vanity metrics, but this is pretty important because, as Giovanni even said, you know, people are willingly opting in to see more of your branded content. So you then have the opportunity to retarget them. You can build lookalike audiences off of them. It's still really powerful. And so I think the key takeaway from this chart in particular is that influencers accept and expect to see influencer content and brands coming through influencer posts. So let's talk about Chili Cow. So we launched in March of this year, and when we were strategizing last year, we had to take a look at the competitive landscape. And it's a very, very busy and noisy one. So there are some heavy hitters in the low-calorie space. You've got Breyer's Delights, you've got innovators like Halo Top, and the common thread here is that you see a lot of calorie claims, right? Less calories, less calories, less calories. But not only is the competitive landscape noisy, but influencers are talking about the product without the brands having to pay them for it. And I think the most glaring example here is Brie Larson off to the left, Oscar winner, and has a heavy social media following. And on National Ice Cream Day last year, she tweeted out that she loves Halo Top and pulled all of these pints out of her freezer and made sure to hashtag not an ad, she just loves ice cream. So not only was Chili Cow preparing to launch in a very noisy competitive space, but we were launching with in a space where brands were getting love and without having to ask for it. So how are we going to attempt to break through that chatter? I noted earlier on that competitive landscape slide, there were a lot of claims about calories. And so to differentiate ourselves from our competitors, we kind of moved into this campaign territory of saving yourself from yourself. So we know, based on doing consumer research, that our target audience does care about the calories. They care about what they put in their body. But we also know that they're a little crazy with their health crazes. Maybe they're spending a little too much time at the gym. Maybe they're going a little overboard with their smoothies. So we landed in this campaign territory, and I will just kind of read our campaign manifesto to you. So in a world taken over by health crazes and kale obsessions and ice cream imitations, we're depriving ourselves of the things we get real joy and satisfaction out of. At Chili Cow, we've made it our mission to create a lower calorie ice cream that tastes just as good as the real thing. And we're setting out to help the people of Earth get their souls back one delicious scoop at a time. So you'll see, we do call out lower calorie, but it's kind of within this larger idea. So I'm gonna share our 30 second spot with you so we can kind of put our brand marketer hats on.
You know that guy.
Watch this.
He eats kale on cheat days. He likes fake carbs, fake desserts. He probably even likes fake. You might be eating the same chalky light ice cream as him. You're a few bites away from becoming that guy. Save yourself from yourself with Chili Cow, the first protein-packed, lower sugar, lower calorie ice cream to use ultra-filtered milk.
So pretty cool stuff. We at Chili Cow do not want you to become that guy. We want you to save yourself with some Chili Cow ice cream before you get to that point. And so with this campaign idea, we knew that we had to have a very disruptive digital plan to go along with it. So again, through some consumer research and testing, we realized where our target was spending her time. And then that allowed us the opportunity to pinpoint and hit her during her moments of receptivity. So let's say, for example, we know our target spends 90% of her time on Facebook. We're gonna make sure we show up on Facebook, right? It's not gonna be worth our dollars if we're over here on Pinterest or putting a billboard out in an intersection that she never goes to. So that kind of leads into the second point here of making sure that we showed her custom messages based on her stage within the consumer journey and that purchase funnel. So again, if we know she's on Facebook, let's say at 6 p.m. when she's eating dinner, we want to make sure that we're showing up in her feed at that time. Really making sure we align our objectives to her strategic or her places along the media journey. And then third, obviously, we want to show scroll-stopping content. We need to give her a reason to pay attention to us because we're new and we have new news and we need to share that. So I think this is a great example of that. This is supposed to be a knock on our competitors, right? It's Sandy, the texture sucks. And she's trying to say, it's not so bad. I'm eating it for the calories, right? So to go along with the digital strategy and dive in just a little deeper here, we've obviously got the conversion funnel and the different touch points here on the right. But I wanna, I guess, pinpoint two specific hashtags that we're utilizing. The first is obviously hashtag Chili Cow. We have our branded hashtag. It's very important for brand building. I mean, we're a brand starting with nothing, so yes, we wanna push this. And if a consumer is at her grocery store, she hasn't seen any of our advertising, she likes it, she wants to share it with her friends, she's more than likely to use that hashtag too. So we're using that pretty widely right now. The second one is our more action-oriented and campaign-focused hashtag. Again, if we're kind of putting our brand marketer hats on and our campaign idea is to save you from yourself before you go too far, if you're in another area other than ice cream, that would be considered an intervention, right? We want to have an intervention because you've gone too far. But we want you to pick up a half pint of ice cream. So our action-oriented hashtag is Pintervention. And so the act of saving yourself is hashtag Pintervention. So that's our digital strategy. And we did something similar when strategizing for our influencer program. So similar to the digital, and because they all correlate and work together, we knew we wanted to leverage two different types of influencers, right? The first being macro, the second being micro. I know there are a lot of different definitions out there and some confusion, what constitutes a macro, what constitutes a micro. But for the purpose of this presentation and how we look at it at Wells, we define a macro influencer as anyone who has over 100,000 followers. And then we define a micro influencer as someone who still has a significant following, but up to that 25,000 follower threshold. And so similar, again, we broke it into three, our influencer program into three categories, launch, amplify, reward. We knew we wanted to launch in a loud way with our macro influencers. It's an authentic way to get our branded message out there. And then we knew we wanted also to amplify that micro message or that macro message and propel the Pintervention movement along with micro influencers. And then third, we didn't want to leave out anyone who was participating in the Pintervention movement, so we made sure to outline that we were going to reward anyone who was taking part in the Pintervention movement. Think of it as, you know, your day-to-day surprise and delight kind of monitoring and responding. So our macro influencer approach. With the help of our agency of record, FCB, and Nicole here kind of spearheaded that as well, we identified two macro influencers that we wanted to partner with. Their names are Ainsley Rodriguez and Whitney Simmons. And the reason we went after these two influencers is because, one, they kind of fit our target. They are gym rats. They spend probably 23 out of 24 hours a day in a gym. They go crazy. They post videos all the time lifting weights and doing all this insane stuff. We felt like they needed to be saved with Chili Cow. And not only that, but their followers, who they collectively had over 3 million, also fit in this same target market, right? Their followers were also fitness enthusiasts, also needed saving. Also needed a Chili Cow Pintervention. So we identified those two influencers, we started conversations, we sent them some product, we made sure they liked it, and when they agreed to work with us, we formalized things. signed an agreement, and then we briefed them. And I think this is a really critical part of any influencer plan is the brief. Our brief was not so structured that it was telling them like, hey, we want you to create a commercial but post it on Instagram and we want you to say X, Y, and Z. But we gave them specific guardrails, both legally because we're a dairy company and an ice cream company and there are certain things we can and can't say. And then, you know, some additional talking points. We really wanted to maintain their creative autonomy because they too are brands themselves and they have their own reputation and image to protect. So we wanted to make sure that they remained authentic to their own audience when talking about our product. And then we went into execution, right? So the way this all happened, as you'll see within the next few slides, we called them out from our owned channels. This was our campaign launch. The first day our campaign turned on, we posted these videos, and then you'll kind of see what happens next. So these are our call-out videos. There's no sound because per best practice for the channel, most people don't watch ads with sound on. So we publicly called them out. We told them, you know, you're going a little too hard in the gym. We think you need to save your soul with Chili Cow. When we reach 100 comments, we're going to send you a Pintervention. And so when we did, we sent them a customized kit along with some ice cream. And another point I want to make here, this swag doesn't suck, right? Like, this isn't stuff that they're going to wear one time and throw away. It's high quality stuff that they can wear and use after the partnership is over. So we sent it in a personalized box. There's this whole trend of unboxing videos on social media as well. If they wanted to do that, we wanted to make sure we were covered from that aspect. But we sent them a really nice sweatshirt with our campaign message. We sent them some kale and beet temporary tattoos because that's cool. A gym headband and then a Chili Cow spoon necklace. So good stuff. And then we also sent them a customized letter, right? A personalized written letter. And then they responded. So let's watch their response videos.
Chili Cow had recently called me out for being a little bit too hardcore. And although I do spend a lot of time in the gym and coming up with healthy alternatives for you guys, sometimes it's important to indulge in something that really satisfies. This stuff has been an absolute lifesaver. It is so creamy. But speaking of hardcore, my friend Joe over there, he's been punching quite a few things lately. Hey, Joe. I think you need some of this. I'll be right back. I think it's time for a Pintervention.
Ready?
This stuff is really good. I just gotta make sure all the flavors taste good. You want some? Oopsie.
So that was Ainsley. This is Whitney.
There's this video floating around Instagram from Chili Cow, and they're calling your girl out. They're claiming that I take this lifestyle too serious sometimes. And to that I say, it's a beautiful day to be alive, to be saved by this Chili Cow Pintervention. Now, you guys know how much I love ice cream. If you are looking for a delicious ice cream that you won't feel bad about, this is it. Unlike other lower cal ice cream brands, Chili Cow uses ultra-filtered milk. And let me tell ya, okay? It's half off links. It's so good. And that is why I'm having my own little Pintervention for my girl, Nikki B. She needs to save herself from herself. She needs to give those glutes a rest, okay? And while we're at it, you guys should try it too.
So two things here. First, they both took very different approaches to their response videos, right? And we gave them the same brief. But because, you know, they know what their followers expect from them, they were able to craft the story in a way that suited their followers and still maintained their authority and their trust with those followers. And the second, you'll notice at the end of both of these videos, they nominated someone else who needed a Pintervention, hence our movement, right? So Ainsley in particular called out her friend Joe, and Joe actually responded too.
So I have a good friend named Ainsley. Ainsley, as you know, is as hardcore as they come. So I've been training like a savage. I want to be just like her when I grow up. But even she told me that I need to relax once in a while and give my neglected sweet tooth a little bit of a treat. She challenged me to a pintervention and told me about Chili Cow, a lower calorie, lower sugar, protein packed ice cream. I'm always skeptical, but because it's her, I said I would try it. Ainsley, you were right. You're always right. Amazing, delicious, protein packed. My boy Derek, you are up next, homie. Give it a shot.
So Joe responded, called out his friend Derek, and we unexpectedly got a response from Derek as well.
Hey guys, so I just found out that my buddy Joe tagged me in a Chili Cow video, and I'm super excited because I really love ice cream.
He's not orange.
That has no calories. It's so good, and I love, obviously, ice cream that has protein in it. I mean, yeah, so I really love ice cream that has protein in it. I feel like I'm not, like, being super bad, even though it's super good. So, yeah, go check out Chili Cow and go check out Joe Ferraro's video on his page, and maybe I'll make a video soon, too.
So keep in mind, this has all transpired just in the past couple of weeks, right? So this is very new, and we're already seeing pickup and this increase in hashtag Pintervention use. For some perspective, we're getting ready to launch our micro influencer support. So we expect this to kind of propel and move along as our campaign season moves along. But initial results have been very favorable. So within the first week of posting Ainsley and Whitney's videos on their own organic channels, so this first point here is purely organic, we reached just over 650,000 people. And that may seem like a small number, but again, if we think about the quality of those impressions and the fact that it's not a brand talking to a person, but it's another person talking to a person, the quality of that impression goes up, right? So we were very impressed with that. As well, we increased our following on our own Instagram channel by 87% in the first week. So again, that's only 1,000 followers, but keep in mind, we're starting with nothing. We are a brand new brand. We have no awareness. And the fact that we got 1,000 people to opt in and say they want to see more content from Chili Cow is amazing. And again, we can keep propelling them down that conversion funnel, or we can create audiences based on their own user data. And then this ad recall portion. So we put some paid media behind Ainsley's post, and we saw a 7.8% increase in ad recall, meaning 7.8% of people who saw the ad were likely to remember it 2 days later, which surpassed our internal benchmarks, right? So we have this algorithm internally that we use to say if we're doing well or not. And it surpassed that. And again, we started at zero, right? I work on brands that don't achieve this percent of ad recall, and they've been around for 80 years, right? So this was really awesome to see, and I only expect it to increase and our results to be more favorable as we launch this micro portion of the campaign. So some best practices moving forward. These may seem pretty straightforward, but you always want to match your influencer to your target and your strategy. And not only that, but you want to make sure that your influencer's followers also match your target demo, right? Another example here, I was looking at influencers for another one of our brands a couple of weeks ago, and we found this one that we loved. Like, she hit all the marks. And then we looked at where her followers were, and they were in Paris, France, right? So he or she may look like the perfect partner, but you need to do your due diligence and make sure that you're actually investing your dollars well, and that where your message is going will actually have the opportunity to impact your bottom line. We don't sell ice cream in Paris, France, so we opted not to partner with that person. Again, I noted this, but you want to provide a structured brief. You want to give guardrails to protect your brand, but you don't want to be super structured at all, either. That leads into the fourth point of giving creators that creative autonomy. Again, they know what they're doing. They are professionals. They make a living. A lot of them make a living doing this and pushing brands and just being influencers on social media. So let them do what they know how to do best. And then this last one is kind of just a watch out, right? You want to make sure you follow FTC guidelines. We've all seen like blog articles of the FTC sending brands and celebrities letters saying you need to disclose your partnership in a more transparent way. So if you are partnering with influencers, always make sure you're hashtagging ad, hashtagging sponsored. And then some very basic don'ts. You don't want to look at number of followers only. A lot of people pay for their followers these days. And you should also, again, do your due diligence. Look at engagement rate. Look at where their followers are located. Do your homework. You also do not want to dismiss micro-influencers. So I didn't touch on micro-influencers a whole lot in this presentation, but a lot of times they're cheaper than macro-influencers. They have better engagement rates than macro-influencers, and they target more niche audiences. So you never want to dismiss them just because, you know, they have 12,000 followers as opposed to 12 million. Don't try to fit a square peg in a round hole. Chili Cow, our mission is to save the world from the soullessness of healthy living. We don't want to go after a mommy blogger, right? That's not our target. Again, with this brief, I keep going back to the brief, right? You don't want to be prescriptive. You don't want your influencer to post a commercial on Instagram, right? Use the platforms the way they're supposed to be used, and don't try to put your influencer into a box. And then this last point here, we've heard it time and time again these past couple of days. Don't overcomplicate. Keep it simple. Just make sure you're doing your homework, and you should have a successful influencer campaign. So before I take questions, I will say, if you are interested in trying Chili Cow after seeing this presentation, I do have coupons. It is at your local Jewel here. It's at Walmart. Check us out at chilicow.com and follow us on social because we're doing really cool stuff.
All right, let's give a hand for Shannon. So we have about 10 minutes for questions. Does anyone have a question they'd like to ask? All right, saw your hand go up first.
Hi, so I was just wondering in terms, you mentioned you were looking at followers of that one influencer and noticed they were in Paris. Were you just manually looking at the followers? Do you have a tool that you use for that? And then my second question, sorry, is also, do you ask for analytics from these influencers in the brief? Are they supposed to provide you with specific follow-up?
Yeah, great questions. So to answer your first question, we have worked with a number of influencer partners. And so they typically do a lot of the outreach on our behalf. For instance, I think we work with an influencer partner called Popular Pays. There's Open Influence, there's IZEA. There are a ton out there that do this every day as their job. And so they can go out and mine influencers for you and bring back those analytics. But if you have identified an influencer that you want to work with, you can absolutely ask to see their follower numbers, their engagement rates, all of these things. Because it needs to be mutually beneficial for the both of you, and they'll react oftentimes to money, right? Money talks. So don't be afraid to ask. If they're not willing to give you that information, it's probably because it's maybe fraudulent in some way. They may be buying their followers. So be cognizant of that as well.
Okay.
Can you explain to us a little bit about what was in the brief? And also, you did show us two examples. Did you guys have a plan or like a backup plan if they didn't respond with the video?
Sure. So your first question, I'm sorry.
Explain the brief.
The brief, yes. So within our brief, we gave an overview of what our campaign idea was. We gave some ideas of, or some possibilities of what they could talk about and what they could include, as well as mandatories, like things you have to say for both legal reasons or because we want you to hit on, you know, one of our three RTBs. The brief can be as short or as long as you want. Again, the longer it is, the more prescriptive it tends to be. But as long as you give an overview of what you are and what your objective for the influencer campaign is, as well as do's and don'ts, you should be good to go.
Any other questions?
Hi, so I work a lot with influencers already. I work in Canada and I work in a pretty financial regulated, legislated environment. You know, we're same as you, legally required to say certain things, not allowed to say certain things on our own websites and properties, but our influencers don't have those regulations. So I use a lot of influencers to for SEO purposes, use words that we can't on our site, that sort of thing. Typically I work in the microsphere, but what do you know about the nano influencer sphere? It's or if anything at all, it's becoming more popular in Canada where, you know, they'll just pay, brands will just pay someone who has maybe 3,000, 4,000 followers, $50 per Instagram post or something like that. And what sort of, where do you see that fitting into the whole sphere in terms of the clutter and adding to all of that? Because you're looking at your micro, your macros, you're looking at probably hundreds of thousand dollars of partnerships and that. But the brands that have lower budgets are going to go after the cheaper, more affordable, which is just going to create more clutter and noise. So what do you, where do you see that going?
Sure. So first of all, I did not know ice cream and finance had so much in common with legal regulations. And I don't know what the legalities are in Canada, but for us, if we are paying a partner, we technically need to own the information presented in the influencer's post. So just a side note there. But to your question about nano influencers, I call them micro again. It's, you know, what constitutes macro, micro, all this stuff. If we had more marketing dollars and if we had an unlimited budget, I would absolutely plan and execute a nano influencer plan. I think that word of mouth is so critical for brand awareness. I don't know the statistic off of the top of my head, but you know, word of mouth accounts for X percent of, you know, brand awareness for new brands. So for us, when looking at mass reach and the impact we could have with the dollars that we have, we went the macro micro route, but I think absolutely there is a place for nano influencers, and I don't think it'll be too cluttered. Right, I don't think the space will ever get too cluttered. There are how many million Instagram users out there? And if you are targeting correctly, and if you're going after people who match your brand and what your brand stands for and believes in, it won't be too cluttered.
All right, any other one question up here?
Hello, can you elaborate more a bit on the role of the micro influencer and how did you stimulate them if you are not paying them?
So we are paying our micro influencers, but we really wanted to give our macro influencer program, and so Ainsley and Whitney, some time to seed and really kind of simmer out the awareness, and then we're going to support that message with micro influencers. So our micro influencers are more niche in nature, so there may be some fitness inspired ones, there may be some yogis, really anyone who has gone too far with their health crazes, we want to make sure we're hitting on. So we're using our micro influencers as a way to target specific niche audiences within our overall target profile. And we provided a similar brief in that, you know, you're saving yourself from yourself with this wonderful lower calorie protein packed creamy light ice cream, and you have, you know, saved your soul, and now you're going to nominate someone else because you think they need to save their soul too. So it's really trying to get this movement going, sort of like Lemons for Leukemia or the Ice Bucket Challenge, but on a paid scale.
Any other questions?
Hi, it's a very simple one. You picked two ladies there. Is it the reason you picked both females and not one girl and one boy in order to have a diversity and treat a more broader target?
So that's a great question too. I think it goes back to looking at influencer followers. So even though we partnered with two macros who happened to be women, when we looked at their followers, we saw that there was an equal weight in male and females. So we were still able to hit our full target audience, or the weight at which we knew our target was, or who they were.
All right, about time for one more question if anyone has one. Once, twice. All right, one more, last one.
Keep them coming.
And I don't know if it's possible, but like honest feedback, did you have some negative comments on one of the influencers and something went wrong, or everything went perfect?
In a perfect world, like, I would say no, we never see anything negative on social. But in the world of trolls, you know, a lot of times there's always going to be someone who just wants to poke, whether it's at the brand or the influencer. So we did see a few comments scattered throughout, like, why are you hawking this? I'm still going to buy my Halo top, whatever it is. But overall, the sentiment of the comments that were received both on the influencer posts and then what we promoted after the fact were largely positive.
Last one.
So then the discussion below the post, it was focused on the product, or the people start asking questions elsewhere? Because we have done an influencer program, and what we have noticed in some cases, it is that the consumers, they are commenting on the, I don't know, new movie, new commercial outfit of the girl, rather, and it's hard to drive the discussion back to the product. So did you have the same challenge? If yes, how you try to save it?
So to recap your question, you're asking, did we just have a lot of followers who commented and said things unrelated to ice cream? Yeah, and that's common on a lot of influencer posts too. So for Bomb Pop, you know, we work with a lot of teens, and a lot of the comments we get on those influencer posts are, oh my God, you're so beautiful, I want to be you, I love you. But there will be a few scattered within that as well that say, Bomb Pop is my favorite, I forgot it existed, I'm going to ask my mom to go buy it for me. And we saw very similar stuff here. There were some people that were like, oh, hey, and they would tag their friend, have you heard of this stuff, we should try it. Unfortunately, we don't have tools that can kind of mine the comments and bucket them for us. So just by reading through them myself and with our agency partners, we were very happy with the amount of mentions that we got within the comment thread.
All right. Shannon, everyone, thank you.
Thank you.
Very much.